Morning, everyone. Hope you have a wonderful day. We continue. We left off. We're okay, all the way on the bottom of page 18, second side. First chapter of Metzia, Shnayim Meirsim. We dedicate the class, our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, especially those on the front line. May all the wounded have a full and speedy recovery. May all the hostages return home safely. We will Nishmas, Abdav Nachum, Rab Moshe, for Shlema. Peril Vashmirim Zok, the Hail of the Gimor. Rabbi Bar Chana was the 38th in line of the transmission of the whole entire Torah Shebaal Peh from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rav Ashi. So Rabbi Bar Chana was an agent. Irchas Le Gita, Beim Drasha, we continue in 19a. He was an agent to bring a get for someone. Not he, it was only, it wasn't his own get, God forbid. He wasn't divorcing his wife, but he had a get that he was an agent to bring. And he lost it. And they found it. The student found it. If he lost it in the Beis HaMedrash, and they found it. So Amr, he says to them, Isiman, if you're going to abide by the simon, an identifying mark, he said, I can tell you a simon. It was not what we call a simon muvik. It wasn't like a hole next to this letter, but a general simon, identifying mark. If you're going to follow that, if I recognize it just by the eye, even if it doesn't have a simon, but I just recognize it, I would recognize the gift. So based on these, and based on this, Hadr and Eli, they returned it to him, and then he gave it, fulfilled his mission and gave it to the person. So Amr, they said, Yeshiva, they said, Rabbi Chana said, Lo yadana, I don't know. Do they hold that simanim is midiraisa, that biblically you return something based on identifying marks, even if it's not a simon mubik? Because simon mubik, everyone holds as a midiraisa. We're talking about a regular simon. So why did they return it to me? Because they hold simon midiraisa. Maybe simon is not midiraisa, but the reason, and therefore you could only return it when it comes to financial matters, a lost object, but not when it comes to permit a woman to marry. So the reason they returned it to me is because the tvias ain't other than the, because they trusted me that I recognize it just by the look. And then the Gemara says, even if you follow tvias ayin, it's only if a great rabbi says, then he says, I recognize, he's trustworthy. He says, I recognize it. But if someone says, I recognize it, you don't go by it. Okay. Okay, Gemara Guf quotes the Brayse we said earlier. Matzah this Rishuk. So this man, Shabbal Meid, if a person finds a divorce, a bill of divorce in the marketplace, if the husband agrees that he divorced her with a Yahzal Lishan, you give it to the woman. In a Shabbal Meid, if the husband does not admit that he ever divorced her with it, you don't give it to either of them. You don't give it to either of them. Because I don't know what happened. Did he divorce or didn't he divorce? So I can't give it to either of them. Because if you're going to give it to the husband, maybe he did divorce her and he owes her a ksuba. So you're robbing her of her ksuba. If you give it to her, maybe he already gave her a ksuba. So you're going to rob him of a payment. So therefore you don't give it to either. Okay, so whatever. The mother asks, okay, so that's the Braise. The mother asks, it says in the Braise, it was man, Shabbal Meidah, but when the husband admits that he divorced her with it, you give it to the woman. Why? Maybe he wrote the bill of divorce in the month of Nisan, but he didn't get around to actually divorcing her, didn't execute the divorce 6 months later, the month of Tishrei. And the law stays, as long as he didn't divorce her, all her fruits, belong to him. He gets to benefit from all of her possessions. And therefore he can do whatever he wants. He can sell it. So the husband went and he sold these fruits that grew from this until Tishrei, 6 months. But now if you're going to give the get to the woman, she's going to take out the get. The cost of it's written in this. If she's going to Vasi Lamidav. Yeah, 6 months, which was legit. But then she's going to come to the court and say, see, it says in the get that he divorced me in Nisan. So they owe me all the fruits. All the fruits, they owe me. They ate my fruits. So they're going to come Vasi Lamidav. They're going to come to take Melkuchas from the buyers. They ate it legitimately. Because even though it was written in Nisan, she was still his wife until Tishrei. Never executed until 6 months later. So he had a right to all those fruits. He had a right to sell it. She's then going to come to the Bezdin and say, hey, it says over here that he divorced me at Nisan. So all the fruits that they ate, that they bought for 6 months, they owe it to me. They paid him. It's me. It belongs to me. This is all good and well. The man, according to the opinion that holds, we already learned this in Gittin, should keep not name of the Garsha, should win the Baal paid it. The moment he decides to divorce her, he's thinking about divorcing, and here is not more than thinking. He actually wrote up a bill of divorce. Then he loses all his rights and privileges to his wife's possessions and fields, the fruits, the profits of his wife's possessions. Shop it, and it makes sense. Because then she, who cares? Give her back the get. She has a right to demand all that money back. Because from this, and even though he didn't divorce until 6 months later, the moment he wrote the get, he already lost the privilege, and therefore she can legitimately collect all that money back. El, the man, according to opinion, that says, Yesh Lebal paid, Shasin Sin, until he actually executes the get, he has all the rights and privileges, Michael, and Meimer, how could he give it back the get? He might answer, Ki Yasin Lemitrif, if she will come, when she will come to the court, showing the get that says in the month of Nisan and asking for all that money back, Amrin and Law will tell her, I said, I am Smatigit Liyadah. The date in the get doesn't tell me anything. Prove it to me when it was executed. That's all that matters.
The execution is when it's
exactly,
in her
hand. So
that's my Torah law.
Right. So he comes to the, and it says in the date, the rabbi said, yeah, he wrote it 6 months ago. How do I know he divorced you that day? You can't take money from someone else.
Hand, right.
Prove it to her. Tell me the date. Show. Bring witnesses the date that he actually gave it to you. Why is this different from if a person found it lost documents of loan documents? It's not, we learned earlier in the Mishnah. If he finds loan documents, if it's written in the documents that the properties of the borrower are mortgageable to pay the debt, that even if the borrower sells his property, the lender, if he has no money to pay back, the lender can go and collect the debt from the properties, from the buyers. Lo yachzi, you don't give it back. Then we explain why not. Shechayev meide. When why not? If the lender agrees, the borrower agrees that he owes money. So why shouldn't you give it back to the lender? And we explain mishum shem mekasul lulvis benisin, and they love our tishrei. Because maybe he wrote the document for this, right. But he didn't execute the document. The actual loan didn't happen until Tishrei. And now you're gonna come. The lender is gonna come and is gonna take away the properties from the buyers illegitimately.
Right. That are not legit.
It's not legit because the lien really didn't start till 6 months later. Right. They bought it before it was actually.
Right.
So Hazan Navi, why don't you say the same thing, Leheder? Why don't you say you give back the shtar, give the document to the lender? What are you worried about? That maybe he's going to come and collect illegitimately? No, Neymale will tell him. I said I am. We don't follow the date in the document. Maybe the date in the document, you just prepared the document that day, but it wasn't executed till later. So you can't extract the property from the buyer unless you prove to me when this document was actually executed. When did the loan actually take place? So what? We mod Amri is on Yeshiva. They answered that there's a different talk over here. The Gabi get the Yisha in the case of the divorce. Asilikeir v'toyva. Who's going to demand the? She's coming to demand the money back from the buyers. The buyers will say, "Well, demand, prove it to me. When was this get actually executed?" Because Omar. The buyer will say to himself, why did the rabbis give back her get? She needs proof that she can marry. She's single. Otherwise, she can't join all the singles events. Everyone knows she's married, so she has to hold on to the get.
Right.
So therefore, Now, if he comes and wants to follow and wants to take money, collect money based on this get, Tezu with Tezu Rayim, while they got the Italy others just to bring a proof when the get was actually executed. But over here, Gabi Shtar Chayim, in the case of loan documents, Li Osi Li Keach V'Tava, the buyer who bought the property from the borrower will never think that he has to demand for proof. He says, with the Hadin Eli Rabbanu Shtar Chayv, if the rabbis gave it back to the lender, Pshita, Lemay Hilchas Aduna, why did they give it back this document? The Lemitrevu. In other words, the only reason why you're giving the lender the document. In order, you should have a document that he can collect even for mortgageable properties. So Shmami no, Kamu Rabbanu B'mil. So the rabbis looked into it. And it's probably it's legit. The rabbis wouldn't give him back the document. If the whole purpose of giving back the document is they should have a document to prove that that all the properties were mortgaged for this loan, you can come and take the properties away from me. Surely they looked into it. And the date is legit. They found out, they ascertained that the date in the document is when the bill of, when it was actually, the loan was actually executed. So you won't even think the question. Here, in the case of a get, the fact that they give it to her, they gave it back to her, doesn't prove that they checked the date. No, they have no choice. You have to give it back to her, even if I don't know the date when the get was actually executed. I have to give it back to her. She needs a proof that she can get married. She's single. So we have no choice. But over here, the rabbis have a choice. Don't give it back to them. Why are you giving it back to him? Unless they ascertain that this was the legitimate date. So he's not even going to think to argue for himself. So you're going to rob him of this opportunity when in truth, maybe he has a good argument. So that's why we don't give it back to the... Because he won't say anything. He won't protest. He'll just assume that the date in the document is correct. That the Bezdin ascertained that the date in the document is correct. That's the actual date of the loan. So therefore he says, listen, his document comes from my document. My properties that I bought are mortgageable to pay that loan, so he won't even protest. Okay, so that's why we don't give it back. It says now, Mishnah, Shechru De'avadim, if you find bills of emancipation, Canaanite non-Jewish slaves of maize, you don't give it back. From the Rabbanu, the rabbis learn, Matzur Star Shechru, Vashuk, you find a bill of emancipation in the marketplace, Man, Sharav Moide, if the master admits that he freed him, Yachzer, give it back. Levit, give it back to the slave. Ein Rambam, if the master doesn't agree, doesn't admit that he freed him, lo yachzer l'zev l'zeh, you don't return it, you don't give it back to either of them. Who's telling the truth? Maybe he did free him. You don't give it back to either of them. Okay. Now the Gemara explains the Braisa. Man, Sharam Moide, when the master agrees that he freed Mia, the Gemara says he after levy, you give it back to the slave. But my why? Nechers, let's suspect. Shemakosa, Velitin, Leibach, Benis. Maybe he wrote a bill of emancipation a month in this. But Linosin, he didn't execute it, didn't give it to him to the slave. Ad Tishrei, 6 months later, the month of Tishrei. The slave went and he bought property between these 6 months, Nisan and Tishrei, when he was still a slave. And the law says that without the master, the slave can't buy anything. Anything that belongs to the slave belongs to the master. So all, everything that he purchased during these 6 months really belonged to the master. The master went and he sold these properties because it was legitimately his. The slave bought, whatever the slave bought belongs to the master, so he went ahead and he sold it. And he profited from it. Now the slave is going to come, he's going to take out the bill of divorce, the bill of emancipation. The Kosar B'Nissen, it says the date is written in Nissen. And he's going to take away all these estates, those properties from the buyers who purchased it legitimately from the master. Because it really belonged to the master. He had a right to sell and he had a right to buy. Now he's going to come and say, I'm sorry, my master had no right to sell it. It wasn't his. I was already a free person. This belonged to me. So my master had no right to sell it and you had no right to buy it. So he's going to come and take it away from them. Shloike din, illegitimately. So how could you give it back to the slave? So, Nicha, it's all good and well. Man, Domer, according to the opinion that says, we learned in Gittin, Schus, Levish, Yetzim, Mitachas, Rabbe, Lecherus. That it's, you're allowed to free a slave even without his knowledge.
If you're benefiting anybody,
exactly.
You could always do some
exactly.
benefit for because, someone,
right.
even if he's in another country.
Yeah, and he doesn't even know about it, because
right.
surely he would agree, and he would appoint you
he
as his agent. As his agent. You're acting as my agent. Yeah. Mazel tov, thank you.
There's two sides to that coin, you know?
Right, so the question is it a merit him? So the opinion that says it's a big merit. He's free. He can marry a Jewish girl. Before that, he couldn't marry a Jewish girl, a beautiful Jewish girl. Also, Kabbai, according to the opinion of Abaye, the Amar, he said, we learned earlier, the Bachasum of Zachin, when the witnesses signed the document, at that moment on, he's already free. So then, what do we, he has a right to collect the money, he's right.
Yeah, it's mine.
Right, shop it. Because then it really did belong to him from this and from the date stated in the document. Even if he didn't give him the document till 6 months later. But the moment he gives him the document and retroactively, of course he has to execute it. The moment he executed it, then retroactively, anything that happened to lie, he was already free 6 months ago. Eleman, according to the opinion that says that it's a burden to him, it's not good for him. He would rather be a slave. Yes, he can marry a nice Jewish woman, but he's free to live with maids. You know, they're much looser.
Right.
You can have more fun. You know, the Jews are very restricted. Very restricted lifestyle. So he's not happy. He doesn't want to be restricted.
He
doesn't want to be restrained.
He don't want to be
he's an American. He has rights.
He don't want to be with a righteous
Jewish. Right, he has rights. He has freedoms.
He wants a lady in the street.
Right. So if he's a slave of a Kohen, he gets to eat all the truma.
Yeah.
Now he's free. He can't eat. He can never eat truma again the rest of his life. So if he says it's a disadvantage, so then the master can't just free him even without his knowledge. He can't act as his agent. So Michael the Mamas, he's not free till Tishrei, and therefore he's going to collect illegitimately from the buyers, because the buyers bought it legitimately, because it really did belong to the master till Tishrei. Again, we're not so excited about the date. The date doesn't mean anything to us. He's going to come to collect. You want to collect money? They can say,
show me when
was it executed? When were you free? Just because the date doesn't mean anything. Your master prepared a document, but it doesn't mean it. Okay. It says in the mission, if you find a document that designates a certain property which the lender is going to specifically collect his loan from, or gifts, documents of gifts, you don't return it. Tell the rabbi, the rabbis learn the barais. Easy, daitik. What's a daitik? Daitika means da tehei lemekim velias. It's like four words together. That you're designating a certain property that you're going to collect the loan from this and this property.
Yeah.
Imeis. If the chosav leploin. Is a gift. He's actually giving a gift. But he's not giving him the gift now. He's giving him the gift, but he's saying that this is going to stand. That I'm giving him this and this property. That he may, even if he dies, nechasav l'pleini. Then this property will belong to so and so, even though he doesn't write from today. But because he's on his deathbed. So it's as if it's written and signed and sealed, as if he gave it to him, and he acquires the gift. So what's matana? What's a gift then? You're saying a daitik is a gift given by someone who's dying. As he writes that I'm giving you the gift from today, but when does it kick in? After I die. In other words, so I'm locking you in. It's like a trust. I cannot no longer sell it. The giver has no longer any possession over the property. He can't give it away to someone else. He can't sell it. Right? What's the name for that trust? It's a trust which a blind trust, or a trust that I give up control. But nevertheless, the receiver only takes possession and can eat all the fruits and the benefits only after the person dies. So it's yours from today. The property itself is yours. I'm locked out of it. I can no longer control it or sell it or change my mind. It's fixed. It's locked. But I get to live in it until I die. I'm not becoming homeless. I'm going to live in it until I die. After I die, it's yours. Okay, so what we see from the language of the Baraisa, only if he writes from today till after I die, only then does the receiver acquire the property. If you don't write it, if you give him everything, he doesn't get anything. Why? If he's saying only if he writes from today after I die, what if I'm giving you everything today? Then surely it's a gift. The meaning of the Braise is as follows. Ezi matanas bari. First he says daitike. Daitike. The difference in a daitike and a poitike. A poitike is you say a poitike koi, you're going to collect your loan from this designated property. Daitike is a document that's written by someone who's dying. Shchivmira, which the rabbis made a special enactment that even what he says is as if it's done and written and signed and sealed, and it's a legitimate acquisition because you want to listen to him. You want to give him the peace of mind when he says something. That's a daitike. Right, this will be valid and enduring. Make him belias. But what's the equivalent of a daitike for a healthy person who's not dying? Shikimatanashribira has the same legitimacy and has the same effect as a matanashribira. The loikoni lachamisa, a daitike, a gift of a shribira only kicks in after he dies. So what's the equivalent of a gift of a healthy person? You can't give it away something after you die. After you die, it's no longer yours. It belongs to your children.
Inheritance. The Torah doesn't recognize wealth.
Exactly. Yeah. No, then it belongs to the inheritance. It's not yours to give away.
Right.
If you're giving it away while you're alive, so you're giving everything away. You're left homeless.
Right.
So how could you do the equivalent of a healthy person with the equivalent of a gift of a shchimera that only kicks in after he dies? So that's what he's saying. If he says from today, till after I die. So other, if he gives everything away now, it's not like a shchimera. A shchimera is dying. So that means I'm not giving it to you now. I'm giving it to you the moment I die, a minute. Right now I'm dying. So what's the equivalent of that, of a healthy person who can live for many more years, a decade? What's the equivalent of that? I'm not becoming homeless. I'm keeping everything I have till I die. And then when I die, it's yours. So that's what he says. If he says, me'ayoyim alachem misa, so then I lock myself out. I no longer have any control over selling it. I've already given it to you. But the fruits and the benefits, you don't step in until I die. I'm not becoming homeless. I'm going to live off in my property. I have a right to live my own property, even though I gave it to you, until I die. We learned in the Mishnah that if you find this document, daitike, or this gift, you don't give it back then. Why not? Because maybe it was never executed. Maybe he prepared a document, but it was never executed. So the reason is Tanu. Because he didn't say, the giver didn't say, give the document. Maybe he wrote it, but he never said, give it. But Ha'amar Tanu, if he says, give it to him, Nathan, you would give it. Because you don't suspect, well, maybe he changed his mind. We suspect he never authorized to give it. He wrote it to have it prepared, but he never actually authorized them to give it to the receiver. That's why you can give it. But what if he says he authorized to give it to the receiver? Then you would give the documents, even though you can always suspect, well, maybe he changed his mind. No, you don't worry, maybe he changed his mind.
Well, yeah, that's true. Maybe he lost it.
Even if he changed his mind, and it fell from his pocket, the receiver never received this document, but he's telling us now, give it to him. What do you mean? I'll ask you a question. We learned about Ais, Motz, Daitikas, Aputukois. A person finds a document of a Daitik, where a person on his deathbed is writing a document, is giving away his property. So, or they're writing down that he said on his deathbed, give away his property. Or Aputukois. A borrower says, designated the property, you're going to pay the loan from this designated the item or property. Matones. Also, if he finds a gift of matanas of gifts, see, even if they both agree that it's legit. Why? Because we suspect maybe he wrote it. He wrote the document, but at the end he changed his mind. He never gave it to him. And therefore, before he gave it to someone else.
He gave it to someone else.
Now he wants to take it back. He regrets the fact that he gave it to someone else. So he wants to take it away from him. So that's why he says, I gave it to the first person.
He's not allowed to give up on his honor.
It says that even if he says give it to him, we don't give it to him. If he says, no, what do you care if I never executed the document? It fell from my pocket. But right now I'm telling you give it to him. I'm giving him a gift. We say, no, it's not legitimate because maybe he already gave it to someone else. And now he regrets it, so he wants to change his mind. So
he wants to take it away from the first guy.
Not gave it back. He never gave it to the first guy. It really does belong to. He's not the second. The second guy is really the first guy. He changes his mind. He wants to take it away from him. Too late. But now he has a document. So he's making this whole subterfuge. Rabbi Mama says, "Like cash, it's not a contradiction." We continue on side B 19B. The braise that says you never return it, even when he admits talking about a healthy person, then you can't give it because maybe. Because it doesn't say in the document that he was lying on his deathbed when he gave this gift. It was a regular document. So therefore we suspect that maybe he never executed it and he gave it to someone else. Now he's using this document to take it away from the other person.
There's two cases.
Our mission is talking about b'shchiv meida. We're talking about a very sick person. So if he's very, it's written in the shtar, he's a very sick person. So if he says give it to him now, then so he explains. Mas nisn diktoni amet nun nisn b'shchiv meida the bar mahader. You could change his mind, even if he gave it to someone else. In the meanwhile, you can change his mind. You listen to whatever, the whole point is, whatever he wants, you go along, because he's dying, you don't want to upset him. So you can change his mind, I'm giving it to you, and a minute later he changes his mind. Because anyway, it doesn't really take effect till he dies. So he changes his mind, so he says, give it to him, give it to the others, the second person, what difference does it make? Well, what are you worried about? That maybe initially he wrote to give it to this one. Then Imlach, he changed his mind. Yavanil didn't give it to him. He never executed it. Never gave it to him. Or the Kassel in Shachariti, he wrote it. He said, no, give it to someone else. Yavanil.
You know, even if you give it to the...
And he gave him the document.
Right.
But Hashtag, Adavim, he took Yavanil. He's changing his mind. I changed my mind. I want to give it to the first one.
Even though there's no Kenyan on paper, you
exactly.
know,
exactly. He doesn't need a Kenyan.
He could change his mind.
Exactly.
Right. And then so... Even
if he's a healthy when he writes his document, less lipseda. He's saying in the case of a shkimira, you have nothing to worry about. What do you worry about? That you're going to extract the property from the second one illegitimately. Why? Because the date on the first one precedes it. You have nothing to worry about. Because if the Shchimera changes mind, the Shchimera could change his mind. So whatever the second document will always prevail. The second document will always prevail. Because if it's a normal document, in other words, he didn't give it to him as a Shchimera, he gave it to him as a healthy person, then he can change his mind. First, I plan to give it away after my death. But then I changed my mind. I want to give it a gift. As a regular gift.
If they give it back to the first person, it's like saying, I changed my mind. And now
he gives it back to the first person. It doesn't mean anything. Let him give it back. You give it back to him, his document doesn't hold any water. Because if the one he gave it to, he says you're worried that what? That you're going to take away the property that was already given to someone else? You have nothing to worry about. Because if the document that he wrote to the second person was a legal document, a regular legal document, not a specialized Shchimera document, so then it really belongs to the second one. That document overrides the Shchimera document, even though the Shchimera document's date was earlier. because he changed his mind. He gave it a regular gift, and it belongs to the second one. If the second one also writes a shchimera document, a specialized document, he can change his mind. First, I wanted to give it to you, and now I'm changing my mind and giving it to someone else. We always listen to the shchimera. You want him to be at peace. You don't want to upset him. So whatever he says is law. So he changed his mind. Yeah, first I wanted to give it to you. So what are you showing a document? That your date is first? His date is second. It means I changed my mind. We're going to follow the second date. So you're not gonna illegitimately take away property that really belongs to someone else. You have nothing to worry about. But in the case of the Brais is talking about a regular document. They're both regular documents. So here you have a problem. Here he wrote a document, but he never executed it. Then he gave it to someone else, legitimately. Now he changes his mind. But how? It's too late. He wants to go. It's too late. So what he does is, give him the document. He's going to come and extract it from the first one. He's not really the first one, but in the date. The date is before the other ones. He's going to come and illegally extract the property from the second one. And that's why we can't give it back to him. Because even if he says, give it to him. Because maybe he already gave it to someone else. The inside. Let's learn inside. The Bar Meheder, he can change his mind. I mean, we say, Michael, what are you worried about? What's your worry? Maybe he wrote it, but he never executed it. Then he gave it to someone else. And he changes his mind. So you have nothing to worry about because you can't illegally take it away from the second person. Why? If the second document, the second person that he gave it, the second one, the second document was like a regular gift, let's slip say that, then he's not going to lose it. You can't take it away from him illegally. When the both documents are presented to the court, the second one is going to win. The other bay make a maize. He changed his mind. First, I wanted to give a shchimera gift. He changed his mind. Now I'm giving a regular gift. And of course, a shchimera can change his mind. So we're going to follow the second document. Even at the shchimera, now me have an elif. The second one also he gave the second document. There's also a shchimera document. Let's say this. It's not, you're nothing to worry about that. Maybe you're going to illegally take away the property from him. The besrai says, because the second one legitimately acquired it. The yehada bay make a maize. Because he changed his mind. You don't follow the first date. It's not a regular case. You're talking about a shchivmira. Shchivmira, you don't follow the first date. A regular date, you always follow the first date. What's done is done. It's too late. A shchivmira, you don't follow. You just follow whatever he wants, whatever he wishes. Yeah, it's as if it's written.
Sure. The deathbed.
So he changes his mind, exactly. And you follow the last one, so you have nothing to worry about.
Once he gives a gift as a healthy person, it's a gift that's given, that's it.
Either way, you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
The Brais is talking about Apish's name mainly. But buddy, that both documents were a healthy person who wrote a gift documents. The Labra Meheder, you can't change. Once you write a document, you don't execute it. But then you write a document, you give it to someone, it's done.
Right.
There's no going back. You can't say, I take it back. I don't want to give the gift. I don't like you anymore. Too late. Once the person acquires it, he acquires it. So therefore we're worried. He wrote the first one, but he never vimlich. And he changed his mind. He never executed it. He never gave it to him.
Right.
But then he gave it the gift to someone else. The yovel, and he gave it to him. He actually gave it to him. He wrote a document and he gave him the gift.
And that's
the now he changes his mind, right? He's very fickle. He changes his mind three times a day.
Right.
He wants to keep it back, but limits in another way. He can't take it back. It's too late. Same lose. He stands to himself. So I will tell the Bezin I gave it to the first one, even though it's not true.
Listen, the sick person could change his mind all day long.
I'm going to say to the Bezin, I gave the first document to the first one. It wasn't true. So they're going to return to me the document. So this document, the date is first. So we're going to take it out. We're going to take it away from the second one. So that's why El Amdinus. That's why the court says we say Amdinu Leana and Haik Sovali only. We say maybe he never gave it to him. Haik Sovali only. Dilma Michtav Kasva. We don't give it back to him. Sorry, we're not giving it back to you. Why? Because Dilma Michtav Kasva Misliavas. You wrote it, but you never gave it nil. And you gave it to a different person. And because you changed your mind. See, after Lin Shacharit. And you change your mind. And also now, kaboy is the Tosfil Ahai. Now you want to give it to this other person. So kasas le hashtag, savacharin. You mind that? That's what you're gonna, now we're telling him. And what if Taki never gave it to someone else? It's just a suspicion. We don't know what happened. So let's say you didn't. So you know what? Kaboy says, like, you want to give this guy a gift? Kasvale hashta. Kasvachini, write him a different document. Today. Give it to him today. If there's no other person in the picture, you have nothing to worry about. Write a new document. I'm giving a gift and give it to him today. You have nothing, if you're telling the truth, that there is no one else in the picture, that you actually wrote this document and you gave it to him. So you have nothing to lose. Write a document today. I'm giving a gift today. Then there's no room for shenanigans. Because indeed, if he gave it already, that person's document would be free, would be ahead, before. And he'll keep it. You won't be able to illegally take it away from him. But this original document, we're not giving to you. We're not giving to the giftee, to the person. Let's say that he's not going to lose anything. The Kadam Zachi. Brilliant. Okay. Check the Gemara. It says Daitika. Daitika is a document written by a Shchimira. Someone on his deathbed. No, I see you. What are you telling me? The Braise is talking about a regular document from a healthy person. Ella, rather, Amar Rav Zvi says. Both are talking about a Shchimra, the Mishnah and the Braith. The Kasha is not a contradiction. Because the Mishnah, it says that you do give it back. Bay. Still alive. He's telling him to give it to this one. So what difference does it make? He can change his mind a million times. If he said give it to him, then give it to him. His son. The person already died. And the son says, give it. Well, the son, you have no power. You can't change it. He explains, what's the difference? Mas nisin. The comet tnu, where the giver says tnu, the dying person says tnu. No, you tnu. Because he can change his mind. So what do you worry about? There's nothing to worry about. What do you mean? I'm going to illegitimately take away the property from the other one? If he changes his mind and says, give it to this one, then you give it to this one. Even let's say he gave it to someone else already. Let's say that you're not gonna lose anything. You're not gonna illegitimately take it away from him. The kamo basra zochi. Because if both of them are gonna produce documents, who are you gonna follow? The later date. So what are you afraid of? Maybe he changes his mind. I mean, what are you afraid of? He wants this one to get. But if the other one's gonna produce a document that he gave it to the other one, then he gave it to the other one. He's gonna keep it. We're not gonna take it away from him. He changed his mind. So what are you worried about? We're talking about that which name made him that even if he admits you don't give it back, the son. The giver died. The giver, the gift, the one who gave the gift already died from his illness. And the son who inherits him says, and he admits, yeah, that the father, it's a legitimate gift. He actually gave it to the giftee, and so therefore you can't give it to him. Why? I mean, we say, Dilma, perhaps Kosev Abu Lahai, he wrote this document to this one, but Im Leliyoni never gave it to him, never executed. After his father died, the Kosev Yelina Shacharit. He wrote a gift to someone else, the son. And he gave it to him. Now he changes his mind. He wants to take back the gift. It's too late. I already gave a gift. You can't give it. He's a healthy person. He gave a gift to someone. It's too late. Let me say, I'll say that my father gave it to him. At the time, it's written in the shtar. He gave him the document. And they said, now I'm going to extract the gift from the person because I had no right to give a gift and my father already gave it. I said, he already acquired it. Niflug bad day, and then I'm going to split it. I'm going to do a swindle. I'm going to split it with the first one.
The son says give it back.
Because maybe the son gave it a gift after his father died. He gave it the gift to someone else. But then he regrets it. He wants it back, but it's too late. So he has a plot. He has a scheme. It's a conspiracy. So he'll tell the Bezdin here, he has a way out. I'll tell them that my father not only wrote this document, he actually executed it and gave it to the Giftin. And therefore that comes ahead of the one that he gave the Giftin.
Wait, after the father dies.
Now the Gemara concludes, we tell him like this. We're not giving back this document because we're worried, maybe there's shenanigans as well. Dilma michtav kasavta mil yavtenili. Maybe it was written, but it was never given. Then you gave it to another person after your father died. Now you change your mind. Now, if what you're telling is true, there is no other person involved here. You never gave this property as a gift to anyone else. So, good boy, you want to give it to this person? Write a new document. Write a new gift document. You have an L and give it to him. Then you have nothing to worry about. Because then, if you already gave it to someone else, he's not going to lose it out. We're not going to be able to illegally take it away from him. Why? Because we'll compare the two dates. The document that you're giving today is a gift, is today. If you already gave it to someone, he'll produce a document that was dated earlier, and he's going to get to keep it. So there's no room for shenanigans. So therefore, this document we're not returning to you. Write a new document. Let's say that the Kotam is off. Again, both the Braise and the Mishnah say a daitiki means a document of a shkirmira, of someone who's dying. So what do you mean a son? He explains, the Mishnah says two types of a gift of a daitiki. And a gift of a regular gift, a matana, of a healthy person.
Right.
And we said, we don't give it to him because maybe it was given, it was never executed. And we say, but if he says give it to him, then we do give it to him.
Right.
What do you mean? The Braise says in the case of a healthy person, you never ever give it to him.
Right.
So he explains that we're talking about when you say that if he says give it to him, you give it to him, we're talking about
that's a deathbed case.
In a case where the guy is still alive. Deathbed, but he's still alive.
Right.
He's still kicking.
Yes.
And then he says give.
Right.
Then you give because you have nothing to lose.
Right.
But not the case of a son. And not the case of a gift of a healthy person.
Right.
Healthy person.
Once it's given, that's exactly. It, right.
Not the case if he dies, if right. the giver dies and the son is now, and not the case if a healthy person gives.
Right.
When do we say that if he says give, you give? It's only in the case of if he's still alive, and then he says give it to him, and then you have nothing to worry about, because he can change his mind. Okay. Yishenim say this whole part was added by the Goinim, because it's so wordy, and what has been extraordinary wordy, it's unusual. What he says and what he thinks and what we think and what he on Matzah Shaver, a person finds a receipt that the wife writes to the husband that she got her ksuva, he paid her the ksuva. So bisman when she admits that she wrote this receipt, and therefore it's true, she got paid, and therefore they can give it to the husband. Yachzir lebal, he can hold on to the receipt. She says, no, I wrote a receipt, but I never executed it because he never paid me. I just had a receipt ready that when he pays me, I'll give it to him. But it fell from my pocket. It didn't fall from his pocket. You can't give it to either of them because we don't know what happened. Maybe the husband did pay. So the husband should get it. You can't give it to the woman. He can't give it to the woman because maybe...
How can we permit this? What's going on here?
Yeah. You can't give it to the husband because maybe he never paid. Maybe the woman is right, so you can't give it to either. The mother says,
it was written in Nisan.
You do give it back. You give it to the husband. Litin b'nissen, maybe she wrote the shaver that the husband is going to pay her the ksuva in the month of Nisan. So she wrote the date that I got my ksuba, I got my payment the month of this. In reality, he never paid the ksuba until Tishrei.
So she held off giving it to him.
Right. In the meanwhile, she sold her ksuba in the marketplace. What's the marketplace value of a ksuba?
Well, it's like
futures, it's a gamble.
Yeah, but there's still a value.
You're buying something and maybe has zero value or maybe has full value.
Why would it have zero?
If she dies, pre-deceases him, or he doesn't end up divorcing her, if he never gets divorced, or if she dies before him, the husband doesn't pay a penny. The husband only pays a ksuva if he divorces her or if he dies before her. They say women, why do women die before the men, before the husband? Why do the women die before their men? Well, they want to. but if he predeceases, then there's no ksuva. So you're buying something that's worthless. Or maybe it'll be worth everything. So it's a gamble. But it has a certain value. Some people speculate. Some people, it's a gamble. So I'm going to pay a certain, I'm not going to pay the full ksuva. Because I don't know if I'm going to get, maybe I'll get zero. Or maybe I'll get everything. Maybe I'll win the jackpot. So, but there's a certain value she could get for the ksuva. So she goes and sells the ksuva. The husband will come and take the shaver, which writes the date that he paid the ksuva in the month.
It's a gamble, right?
The chsib bin nisim.
They never get
divorced. Lekuches shleikedin. This is what. And so he's gonna already come, and according to ksuva, he gets already. So it was a legitimate sale, because since he didn't divorce her until 6 months later.
Right, yeah.
So therefore, who should really get the ksuva? This person, the buyer. The wife doesn't get it, she sold it. So she's not getting anything.
Right.
The buyer should get it. He bought it legitimately. But he's going to produce a sheva that says that he already... Before the sale.
Right, before.
So the wife will get nothing.
Right.
He will get nothing. He'll get to keep it.
Yeah, right,
he'll get to keep the ksuva.
He's the one persuading. Right.
Right.
If you give it to him.
Exactly.
Right.
So Rava answers, Shmamina, we continue on 28. Let's learn already till the Mishnah. This proves Shmamina Isla de Shmuel. This proves Shmuel's halacha. Amr Shmuel says, if you sell a loan document to your friend, instead of you collecting the lender, instead of the lender collecting, he sells the rights to collect the debt to someone else. And then he goes and forgives the loan. He can forgive it. He still has a right to forgive the loan. The loan is a personal commitment from the borrower to the lender. It's personal. So even if you sell the loan document, the financial obligation, but the lender still has a right to forgive the borrower. And tough luck on the buyer. You bought and now it's worthless. You can't collect because I already forgave. Now, you're responsible for damages. You caused the person damages because you sold them a document and then you ruined them by forgiving. Fine. So that's between the buyer and the lender. But the lender, the buyer cannot collect his loan because the lender forgave him. He has a right.
See, under Torah law,
right.
It's an intangible.
Exactly.
It can't be sold under
biblical
law.
And even if he dies,
he transfers the right to collect the debt.
Exactly.
He still owns.
And even if he dies, the inheritance,
the children
could forgive.
Forgive it, right.
So that's the same idea. In other words, right. It doesn't matter. Even if she sold it, even if she it was legit that it didn't happen until.
Yeah. Right.
Till Tishrei. The get didn't happen till Tishrei. The ksuva didn't happen till Tishrei. And she sold him. But she can still forgive her husband. She has the right to forgive her husband.
Right.
And he can walk away with nothing. So when he buys it, he has to expect it's a possibility that he'll walk away with nothing. So therefore, if he says give back to Sheva, she has a right to forgive now. Even if the get is now, she sold him, she has a right to forgive her husband. Right. So if her husband can keep it legitimately,
she can screw the guy.
She's giving up her rights, and the guy, I'm sorry, you get nothing. No, it's not a proof. I feel the tame, the less of Shmuel. Even if you disagree with Shmuel, you know what our mission is talking about. The ksuva, she has the ksuva. So if she has the ksuva, you have nothing to worry about. Maybe she sold it. What do you mean she sold it? If she sold it, what's she doing in her hands? She never sold it. So he has nothing to worry about. If she never sold it, she has the ksuva. She never sold it. So, and he says, give it to her. He says, and she says, give it to my husband because I already paid. The receipt is legit. Exactly. Rava says, Imishum Shtar. Rava says, oh, Rava didn't want to accept Abaya's answer. Rava says, this proves Shmuel's point. Why? Because Imishum Shtar ksuva. And we should worry, maybe there's two ksuvas. Maybe the husband wrote her two ksuvas. She wrote one. She sold one. And she kept the other one. And that's the ksuva that she's bringing to court. Now, she wants to take back, she regrets that she sold. She regrets that she sold. So they make a shenanigan. The husband will produce the receipt that says the date. That means she had noted that the sale is meaningless, and therefore she'll split it with her husband. Rabbi will say, number one, l'shteik suv l'chashina. We're not worried. Such conspiracy theorists, we're not. That you have to worry that maybe there's two ksuvas, I mean, and they're lying, and they're making up a whole baba maisa just to conspire. I mean, it's a little too far-fetched. In addition, shaver bismane tarif. Matter. It doesn't matter when it was executed. We follow the date in the receipt. Even if the actual execution happened later, it works retroactively. From the date in the receipt, it's his. Right. It's his. So therefore, it is his. Even if there is another ksuva, what do
even
I care?
If they sign it, it's a done deal.
Rabbi is giving a different element now. Rabbi, the time made Amar Eidav Chsum of Zachalay, that the moment they sign,
after she wrote him,
it's legit. Therefore, it doesn't matter if she has a ksuva. You don't have to say it's talking about a case where she has the ksuva. No, even if she doesn't have a ksuva, it doesn't matter.
Receipt, that's it.
Doesn't matter
she
exactly.
There's nothing to sell. It's an
Rava says no. Rava says you must say the law follows Shmuel. Only this Mishnah only makes sense if the law follows Shmuel, who says that you have a right and the power to forgive even after you sold it. Because otherwise, if you don't, if you say the law does not follow Shmuel, then we cannot give back the receipt to the husband. A, because we don't follow the witnesses, the time it's witnessed. And even if she produces a ksuva, maybe there's another ksuva involved. And therefore, she sold one, she's taking out the other one. Doesn't mean she didn't sell. And therefore, you're going to mess up the buyer of the ksuva. He legitimately bought the ksuva. Now, illegally, you're taking away from him. Because you're saying, we're following the date in the shaver, which was before the time it was actually executed. So the husband will keep it, or he's making shenanigans with the wife, he'll split it with the wife. So therefore this proves Shmuel's din. We'll continue tomorrow with the Mishnah. Have a wonderful day.